We're going to be in Psalm chapter 8, Psalm chapter number 8 this morning. Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God. It's a beautiful chapter. I'll try to give you what God's put in my heart. Thank you for being here today from the bottom of my heart. The psalmist David said, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. You can be seated. Pray with us a moment. Father, I want to thank you this morning for the privilege to be back with our people. Lord, I know this morning that you've got something to encourage us, something to help us. Lord, I pray that not only would you help the saints of God this morning, but help those, Lord, that have not yet discovered that Jesus is the best friend they'll ever have in this world. Lord, we praise you this morning for your goodness. We ask you, God, to clothe us in our calling and help us to be a blessing to your precious people. In Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. I'll call your attention to the fact that the psalm begins and ends with the same words. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. When I read that, I'm reminded, I've told you this before, but before I ever got saved, I knew there was something about that name, the name of Jesus, amen. I didn't plan on saying this, but sin is a progression. And I can remember when I was a child, I was taught not to use God's name in vain. And I was taught not to do that. And I can remember being a child, and if I heard someone say that, and it was very rarely when I was a child, you understood, when I went to school, they prayed over the intercom every morning. They read scripture over the intercom every morning in a public school. Amen. So it was a little bit different setting than it is nowadays. But then I got into high school and things began to change, and I began to hear it more often. But when I would hear it, it was almost like cold chills would go all over me. And then I got in the workforce, and then I got to where it didn't bother me. Then the first thing you know, it was coming out of my mouth. Are you listening to me? This name, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. We're not to use the name of the Lord our God in vain. And you can even say Jesus and it be in a different context and be using his name in vain. I didn't mean to say that this morning, but God brought it out of me. Amen. I just wanted you to tell, that's the way sin is. You hate it and then you kind of get used to it. And the first thing you know, you're doing it. Amen. And that's just how deceiving that sin is. I want to call your attention to three things in the service this morning. I want to call your attention, first of all, to God's glory. The Word of God said here, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. There's a couple places in the Scripture where we get glimpses of God's glory. One place in Scripture is Matthew chapter number 17. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. I believe, Brother Chris, they got a glimpse of God's glory on that mount of transfiguration. And they responded in a wrong way to it. They said, you want us to build a tabernacle for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. Oh no, this ain't about Moses and Elijah. This is about Jesus. Amen. It's about the glory of God. And if you'll turn in your Bibles with me to Isaiah chapter number 6, Isaiah gets a glimpse of God's glory. The Lord's been working in my heart on this chapter. And I want you to know that sometime in the near future, the Lord will probably have me in this chapter preaching. But for right now, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. You see, Isaiah's attention was divided until this point, and he had more of his eyes and his sight on Uzziah than he did on the Lord. But when Uzziah died, then his attention was brought to the Lord. And he said his train filled the temple. And it stood, and above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, with twain he did fly. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Did you know it's a shame that we could live week after week and not recognize the glory of God? Amen. But the Bible said here, "And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Isaiah got a glimpse of God's glory. You say, "Pastor, why do we need to see his glory?" Because that's the only way that repentance is going to come in our life. We're going to have to see how holy he is and how sinful we are. Amen. And we're going to have to recognize our need of him. Right now, we get glimpses of glory along the way. But one day, thank God, we're going to get to gaze at his glory. The Bible said in John chapter 17 and verse number 24, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am." Is that a blessed thought or not? To be with him where he is. And why? He said that they may behold my glory. I'll have a glorified body, and I'll be able to look at his glory and not perish. Amen. I'll be able to honor him, beloved. He said, "Which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." You see, beloved, Jesus, his prayer in John chapter 17, he said, "I want my people to be with me. I want them to be able to behold my glory." And I believe this morning we can get glimpses now, but one day we'll gaze at his glory. Now there's another text here that I want to bring about before I move on. The Bible said that we come short of his glory. If you had ever, beloved, see his glory or get a glimpse of his glory, this is one reason that I have said for years, the person that is walking the closest to the Lord does not know it. Because when you get close to him, the closer you get to him, the more you see is wrong in your own life. Amen. And the more work needs to be done. The Bible said, "As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all that believe. For there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Amen. Every one of us needs a Savior. Amen. God is a glorious Father. He is a glorious God. And the psalmist said, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." He opens and closes with the same words. So we notice in the text God's glory. Now I want you to notice in the text, if you will, God's greatness. Beloved, I believe, listen, the children, when they learn how to pray over the food, many of them recite this prayer, "God is good, God is great. Let us thank him for our food. By his hands we are fed. Give us now our daily bread." There are some that might say, "Well, so what?" I'm going to tell you what, beloved, that says a whole lot if you'll listen to it. God is good. God is great. Amen.
I tell you, He's the one that feeds us. Amen. He's the one that's good. And we see His greatness, amen, in the text. The Word of God said here, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" I looked up some things I wanted to share with you. With the naked eye, one can see about 5,000 stars. With a 4-inch telescope, one can see about 2 million stars. With a 200-inch mirror of a great observatory, one can see more than a billion stars. The universe is so big that if one were to travel at the speed of light, it would take 40 billion years to reach the edge of the universe. Considering the heavens makes us see the greatness of God. These great heavenly objects such as the moon and the stars are the work of God's fingers. Notwithstanding the amazing magnitude of the sun, we have abundant reason to believe that some of the fixed stars are much larger, yet we are told they are the works of God's fingers. What a hand to move from and form and launch these globes. I want you to go with me this morning, if you will, for just a moment, over to the book of John, chapter number 10. You say, "Pastor, I don't know why the psalmist would cry, 'O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth.'" I believe this will help you this morning. It sure did help me. Amen. In John chapter number 10, there was a time when I could have quoted all these verses, but the Bible said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Glory to God. The Bible said, "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Everybody look at me now just a moment. I'm telling you, beloved, I believe I'd be pretty safe just sitting on the tip of his finger. Amen. He took his fingers, amen, and made the stars. And beloved, the universe, that's a great God that we serve, amen. And God said, "No, you're not going to sit on the tip. You're going to be in my hand." Hallelujah. I'm safe this morning, amen, because Jesus Christ has me in his hand, amen, and I'm protected by the grace of God. Listen to some of these verses describing the greatness of our God. "O Lord, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works, according to thy might?" That's Deuteronomy 3:24, Deuteronomy 5:24. And ye said, "Behold, the Lord our God hath showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man and liveth." Amen. Aren't you glad he talks with you? Aren't you glad he walks with you? We take these things for granted, beloved. But this great God that made the universe, made the heavens, made the earth, made the animal kingdom, beloved, is one that loves you and I. In Deuteronomy 9:26, "I prayed therefore unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, destroy not thy people and thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed through thy greatness." I'm telling you, beloved, redemption is the theme of God's people. Brother Jason said a while ago, we were talking about getting there, the angels have to step aside, because we're going to sing the song of the redeemed. "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor and power and glory." He's worthy now, beloved, because "I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God." There's a lot of people wanting to talk about a great preacher or a great church or a great sermon. I'm telling you, we need to be lifting up a great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that's worthy. The Bible said in Psalm 47:1-2, "Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great King over all the earth." I tell you, my mind wanders when I read these verses sometimes. There's a lot of people think that we have a president that's going to be able to work this out. And maybe Zelensky will be able to work this out. Maybe Putin will be able to work this out. But I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven that's already determined. Are you listening? There's great peace when you put your faith not in man, but in the God that made man. The Lord Jesus. Amen. Great is the Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Jeremiah 10:6 said, "For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great and might. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain. For as much as among all the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms, I want to say it with Jeremiah, there's none like unto thee." There's a God in heaven, beloved, that knows the beginning from the end. And I'll tell you, we can rest in His greatness. Amen. I want to say this to you. He was great when He came. Listen to this. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and his name shall call him Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." I want you to know, beloved, listen, let me just go back a minute. He is great before he came. He is great when he came. He is great when he was here. And he's going to be great when he comes again. Think about this. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people." I'm just here to tell you, beloved, God wants us to see his glory, but God also wants us to see his greatness. Turn in your Bibles with me, please, to the book of Psalm chapter 145. Psalm chapter 145. I'm going to read a few verses of scripture here, and then we'll move on to the last thing in the message. Psalm chapter 145, David's psalm of praise. David said, "I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised." I wonder, when people look at our lives, do they see a great God? Amen. Do they see us praising the one that made us, the one that saved us, the one that satisfies us, the one that supplies our every need? He said, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." You can't find it out. "One generation shall praise thy works to another." You say, "Pastor, why is it important?" I'll tell you why it's important. Look around at the teenagers. Look around at the children. Beloved, they're supposed to be catching something from you and I. It's not that we got a little bitty God, but we got a great big God. Amen. That made all of this. Amen. That took his fingers and put the stars in place. Amen. And made the moon and made the sun and made you and I. Listen, great is the Lord. Watch verse 4. "One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor thy majesty and thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of the terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness." Listen to this. "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all. His tender mercies are over all his works." You know what I want to say to you this morning? Saved or not, God's good to you. He's given you an opportunity, beloved, to be saved by the grace of God. And the Word of God said it's the goodness of God that leadeth men to repentance. This psalm is telling us about our great God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking at three things this morning. We've looked at God's glory in the chapter. We've looked at God's greatness. Now I want to just close with this. I want to look at God's goodness. God's goodness in this chapter. You say, Pastor, what do you mean God's goodness? Look at verse 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him? How many believes that if we could look through that telescope, that it would probably make us feel pretty small? We're just a speck in the big... But let me tell you, we're not really small. Listen to me what I'm saying. You know how much God cares about you, David? When you brushed your hair this morning and one fell out, he changed the number. Amen. He knows how many hairs is in our head. Are you listening to me? He knows the thoughts and the intents of our heart. He knows, Sister Jean, what we need even before we ask. But he said, come on, youngins, and ask me. Amen. That's the good God that I serve. Amen. Yeah, he put all that out there. You say, Pastor, how can he hear everybody at the same time? I'm telling you, beloved, I just know he does. He's big enough, beloved. Listen, he can hear people praying in the Philippines and hear people praying in Japan and hear people praying in Africa, where Brother Keith will be going next month. He can hear us praying here in the United States of America. He's a God that's good to his people. And he wants us to understand that. The Bible said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? Let me give you three things about God's goodness. Number one, God made us. And let me say this to you. Listen to me carefully. I'm not trying to be mean. But we're living in a messed up world right now. Beloved, did you know that most of this stuff that's going on with our children is not coming from the children? It's adults trying to cram it down their throats. And I'm going to tell you, you want to get a preacher angry. You let me think that somebody's over there trying to cram something down one of my grand youngins' throat, and I don't even know about it. Their mom and daddy don't even know about it. I'm telling you, beloved, we're in a sick, mixed up mess. Amen. But I'm going to tell you this, beloved. God made my grand youngins just like he wanted them. Amen. You know how he made them? Male and female. And beloved, he ain't mixed up about that. And I'm telling you, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man. I was thinking about the other day, Aubrey had her reveal party there at the house, and Kyle hit a golf ball. I reckon the golf ball was plastic, but it either had pink or blue dust inside of it. When you hit it, it busted. You say, what did you do, preacher? As soon as he hit it, I looked at the person next to me and said, what color was it? I couldn't tell if that dust was pink or blue. Amen. But I knew this. I knew, listen. That day I learned. But before the foundation of the world, God knew. Amen. Before the world was ever formed, God knew about that little baby that was coming along. Amen. What a blessing. He made us. The Bible said in Psalm 100, it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. You know what secular humanism is? It's you're your own God. Do your own thing. Go your own way. Go ahead. But I'm going to tell you where you'll end up. You'll end up in hell. Because, beloved, listen, you're not your own God. It's God that made us and not we ourselves. Amen. And we're going to answer to him one day after a while. I was in North Carolina last week. They had a whole billboard. I'm talking about huge letters. And this is all it said, Brother Dale. Every knee shall bow. That's all it said. I tell you, that's a good message for the interstate. Amen. Every knee shall bow. The rest of it says, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There comes that glory again. God's goodness, God made us. The second thing, God is merciful unto us. The word God said here, the word of God said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? You say, Pastor, what do you mean God is mindful of us? I'm telling you this morning, you're in his heart. You say, Pastor, I'm not saved. You especially. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Listen to this verse. But God commendeth. That word means demonstrated. The word's not commandeth, it's commendeth. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He's not waiting on you to do anything, beloved, to love you. He'll never love you an ounce more than he loves you right now. But I'm telling you, beloved, he cares for us. He's mindful of us. And then I want to give you this. The Bible said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him. If you know your Bible, you know there's some prophecy going on in this psalm. And that it's spoken of again over in the Gospels. And that the Son of Man is not only you and I, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ that's being spoken of in the text. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man that thou visitest him? I'm going to tell you, listen to me. God visited us. And God still visits us. Amen. Did you know that? Amen. You say, Pastor, what do you mean God visits? Listen, I went to church one night in February 1987. I wasn't looking for a visit from royalty, but royalty showed up. Amen. God visited me. God came right to where I was. You say, why would he do that? Because I couldn't go to where he was.
That's right.
He came to me. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. And beloved, I'm telling you, beloved, he loved me. He let me know my lost condition. And beloved, it's God that visits with us. God gave us dominion in this text. God gives us deliverance. The Bible said the goodness of God leads you to repentance. And then God gives us a declaration. He gives us something to say. You say, Pastor, what should we say? O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. We ought to be telling everybody about our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus, God's goodness. I got a couple things here I want to read to you, and we'll close. This is from Corrie ten Boom. Often, I've heard people say how good God is. We prayed that it would not rain for our church picnic. And look at the lovely weather. Yes, God is good when he sends good weather. But God was also good when he allowed my sister, Betsy, to starve to death before my eyes in a German concentration camp. I remember one occasion when I was very discouraged there. Everything around us was dark. And there was darkness in my heart. I remember telling Betsy that I thought God had forgotten us. No, Corrie, said Betsy, he's not forgotten us. Remember his word. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. Corrie concludes, there is an ocean of God's love available. There is plenty for everyone. May God grant you to never doubt that victorious love, whatever the circumstances. I'm telling you, it's one thing to say God is good when the cupboards are full. But can you say God is good if the cupboards are empty? It's one thing to say God is good if your children are healthy. But can you say God is good if God takes one of your children? It's one thing, beloved, to say God is good while you're conversing with your sister. But it's another thing to say God is good when you watch her starve to death. That's got to be a cruel death. Amen? And beloved, we've come close here lately to seeing some individuals literally starve to death. I'm just telling you, beloved, I've been saying this for years and you need to get a hold of this. We should not only thank God for our food, we should thank him for our appetite. Because the best meal in the world means nothing to you if you don't have an appetite. Amen. God is good. God is good. I see enough from week to week that I can actually just thank God I can see. I can thank God. You might think I'm being stupid. You can think whatever you want to. I thank God, beloved, I can hear. I thank God I can speak. I thank God that I can use the bathroom. You say, Pastor, that's so stupid. Get with somebody that can't. Get with somebody that has to put a catheter in them every time they use the bathroom. And watch the blood come out of them. I'm just telling you, God's been good. Amen. And I'll tell you, better than all that, I lay down at night with a peace in my heart. If I don't wake up in the morning, I'm going to be in a better place. A place called heaven. Amen. Let me read this to you. I like this. Talking about the goodness of God. A construction crew was building a new road through a rural area, knocking down trees as it progressed. A superintendent noticed that one tree had a nest of birds who couldn't yet fly, and he marked the tree so that it would not be cut down. Several weeks later, the superintendent came back to the tree. He got in a bucket truck, and he was lifted up so he could peer into the nest. The fledglings were gone. God. They had obviously learned to fly. The superintendent ordered the tree cut down. As the tree crashed to the ground, the nest fell clear, and some of the material that the birds had gathered to make the nest was scattered about. Part of it was a scrap torn from a Sunday school pamphlet. On the scrap of paper were these words, "He careth for you." Oh, glory to God, I serve a God that takes care of the sparrow. And he watches over me. Beloved, God cares for you. No one ever cared for us like Jesus. The Bible said, casting all of your care upon him, for he careth for you. I want to ask you something this morning. The scripture said, "Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent thy name is." I want to ask you this question. Is he your Lord? Is he your Lord? The psalmist said, "Our Lord." Is he your Lord? He said in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness." There's only one reason, Brother Chris, I'm still in this way. I've allowed him to lead. No telling where I'd be if he wasn't leading. "He leadeth me in paths of righteousness." Y'all need to get this. For his name's sake. His name is on the line in my life. Did you know that, Brother Larry? His name's on the line in your life. It's not just the Stallard name. It's the name of Jesus that's on the line. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil." My cup, I love it, runneth over. Heard a song, Brother Chuck, a few years back. "I'm drinking from the saucer because my cup's overflowed." And the old timers take that hot boiling coffee and pour it out in the saucer. Sip from the saucer. "My cup's overflowed." Then he said, "Surely goodness." Here comes that goodness again, brother. I tell you what, he's a good God. Amen. He's a great God. He's a glorious God. "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I read a story yesterday about a little boy. There was a real bad storm, real bad. And they were having a birthday party for one of his friends. It wasn't a long distance, but it was long enough to, in this storm, you could get in trouble. And the little boy said, "Please, Dad, please, I want to go so bad." He said, "Son, it's storming." He said, I'm afraid to let you go." He said, "Dad, please." He said, "Okay, son." And he let him go. And Brother Jack, he goes through the storm. And they said, just as the little boy got to the door of the neighbor's house where the party was going on, said he turned around. And there was the figure of his dad fleeing, going back. He didn't just let him go. He made sure he's going to make it. I've got a God this morning. Are you listening to me? It's going to make sure that I make it. Amen. He's going to make sure that I make it. Do you know him? Oh Lord, our Lord. Is he your Lord? There's only one person that can answer that question. That's you. I'll be honest with you. Everybody should have such a relationship with Jesus that you wouldn't trade with anybody. You ought to know what you have. Amen. Know who you serve. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to be here. Lord, I'm not sure if I've even scratched the surface of magnifying these truths. Thy glory, Thy greatness, and Thy goodness. The little chorus was saying, Lord God is so good. He's so good to me. He answers prayer. He's coming back. He's so good to me. Lord, for those that are sitting in this auditorium that don't know you, how I pray, God, you'd visit with them. With cords of compassion, Lord, you would draw them. Not to a preacher, not to a church, but draw them to the Christ of Calvary. Lord, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life. Thank you, Lord, for laying down your life. Help us, we pray. Let's stand together. They're going to sing a verse of invitation.